Luke chapter 16, we'll go there and we'll read you a parable and then we'll refer back to this parable some as we finish the teaching on biblical finances. And of course, in three Sunday nights, it's not going to be exhaustive, but I on purpose tried to keep things simple. And this will give you a basic format, I think a good plan, a simple way to set up things and to look at things in a biblical manner and to help you to get your ducks in a row here. So Luke chapter 16, verse 1, we're going to read this parable, interesting parable. And also, by the way, pay close attention to the application that is towards the end here in verses number 10, 11, and 12, and 13. So let's all stand for the reading of the parable of the unjust steward, Luke chapter 16. And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. So he'd been unwise. He'd been unwise with what he'd been entrusted with. You know, come on, folks. There's times in your life you look back and say, you know what, I wasn't very wise during that time in my life. Or maybe right now you're saying, preacher, I'm listening to this, and I think we've made some unwise decisions. Well, let's learn from the unjust steward, okay? And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee, and give an account of thy stewardship, that thou mayest be no longer steward? Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship, I cannot dig, to beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measure of oil. He said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take the bill and write 80. The Lord commended the unjust steward. The Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done, what's the next word? Wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Heavenly Father, Lord, there's a lot we're going to talk about. So Holy Spirit, please, I pray that you'd please help me to have a good train of thought. Lord, keep my mind sharp tonight and focused on what I need to be doing, and to do this in such a way that it'd be a blessing to our folks, and that there would be a clarity to it. We thank you for this parable and what we're going to learn tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All righty. I'm going to review real quickly, and this is a great frame here because it allows us to see everything that we've learned so far, and it allows me to just review quickly. There's three different ways that God allows us to receive income, and that is through labor and creative resourcefulness and answer to prayer. So if we will work and be faithful at working and follow the Bible principles as far as the work ethic, also to try to develop work skills, a skill set that will enable us to maximize profitability of our labor. And then creative resourcefulness, that's where we then take what God has allowed to come through our labor and handle it properly and rightly, and then also ask the Lord to give us some creative ways in order to add to that. And then also dependency upon the Lord from time to time, even doing all of these right things, God will allow sometimes needs to come into our life just to keep us dependent on Him, and that's a good thing. So there's going to be times we have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been very diligent, and I've worked and I've done the best of my ability, and yet, Lord, there's something here that's come upon me that I didn't foresee and expect. And Lord, I need your help. And God's very good at showing himself mighty and reminding us that ultimately he's in control. When we reach into we're putting all of that in the chest. That's the income. What about the output? Always should start with giving, tithes, and then, of course, offerings on top of that. in opportunities to give to the poor and help brethren. Pay for necessities. That's the next thing that ought to come out. Notice giving comes first, then necessities come second. God's deserving of the first fruits. He doesn't want the second, third, fourth. He doesn't want the leftovers. Gerald Clancy's teaching a little bit on the same things. I've been helping him and over in his, and he found a statistic that was amazing. He said the average Christian gives, and he had it down to decimal points, but it was 2.1 something, something, something percentage of their income. And I thought, I don't know where they got that, but less, just barely over 2% of their income, the average Christian gives about 2% instead of the tithe and offerings, 10 plus. And he said a statement to me, he said, the reason that this is because most Christians, what they do is they pay everything that they feel like they need to pay and do everything they need to do and buy everything that week they need to buy. And then based on what's left over, then they decide what they can give to the Lord. Folks, listen to me. The first check you ought to write every single week ought to be your tithe and offering check. God shouldn't be at the back of the line. He ought to be at the front of the line. I can't afford to tithe. Just go ahead and write that check first. And then on the 90%, do the best you can and watch. If you'll be faithful, 90% or less than that will go farther than 100% ever goes. Now, take God off trial. I think God knows the motive of our heart. Well, I'll try. I've heard people say, I'll try it for a month. And if it don't work out, then I'll quit. Well, then God's not going to let it work out. You don't say, I'll be obedient for a month, Lord, and if you bless me enough, I'll still be obedient. No, we're just supposed to be obedient. And a lot of times, I'll tell you this, and this might be the testimony of some people in this room. A lot of times when you initially begin to give tithes and offerings, it seems like the devil will try to bring some things in to discourage you. And at first, instead of blessings seeming to come, it may be that, you know what, trials come. And I think God sometimes allows that to test again our resolve in this matter. And say, Lord, you know what? Whether it seems to work or doesn't seem to work, I don't care. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to trust you that in the long haul, Lord, you're going to bless and work things out. And so we give, then we pay for necessities, and then from the abundance, we prayerfully consider what the Lord would have us to do with that. And according to his direction, we either save or distribute according to his leading in our lives. All right? Now, that's simple. Folks, honestly, that's simple. Well, preacher, I think I'd come up with one or two more arrows. Maybe you can. But I'm going to tell you something. Why don't you just keep it simple? Listen, remember, you got a simple preacher. I like simple, simple, simple. I just like life simple. And if you'll follow this very simple outline right here, then you know what? You're going to find out that God will bless, and in a short amount of time, it's amazing how God will begin to, you'll begin to see the blessings that come from that. Now, all right, this is an easy formula to follow, but sometimes what we've created in our lives is what I call stewardship complications. And we're going to give you those right now, and then we'll go to each one of them tonight and talk about them. Stewardship complications. All right, you've got a treasure chest. You're putting some money in, and as the Word of God directs, you're taking some money out. But if we're not careful, we begin to lose money out the bottom because we've created holes in the bottom of our treasure chest. And some things that are going out that really are outside of biblical teaching and outside of wise stewardship practices. And so we begin to create some things. Well, one of the things, preacher, that I have to add to my arrows of things that are going out every month is I have to pay back money that I've borrowed. I'm going to talk to you about this. If you'll remember, when we covered the 40 biggest issues of the past 40 years, I spoke an entire Sunday night on indebtedness and what that creates. We'll go back through those things and we'll do them really quick. But I want to remind you of what the Bible says. So one of the things is we also then, along with giving, paying for necessities, and before we can start managing the abundance, we got to start using that abundance. And sometimes it cuts into even what we need for our necessities just to pay back borrowed money. Young people, guess what? You just don't pay the money back. You pay interest on the money. And so not only now that you've borrowed, do you have to pay that money back, but you have to pay interest on that borrowed money. And so that's a complication. Impulse buying is a complication. It's not part of the plan. It's one of the things that it's a bad habit in our life that creates holes in the bottom of our treasure chest, where we get outside of our budget, we decide on a whim, We get a flyer and we see something that's cool, or we go to the store and we go to window shopping, or we do something, and next thing you know, we're buying things that really are outside our budget. We weren't even planning on buying. We just saw them, wanted them, and bought them. Another thing that creates complications is unwise spending. And that's that we are spending money on some things, but we're not really wise. We're not maximizing the potential. We'll talk about what that is and how to do that. Then we have the devourer that comes in. And that, a lot of times, is created because of the fact that we refuse to follow the Bible principles on tithes and giving tithes and offerings. And so God unleashes a devourer into our life. And you know what? Let me just say this. Everybody tithes. Everybody tithes. I promise you, at least 10% of your income, you're not keeping. Now, you've got a choice. You can give it to the Lord, and you can then receive the blessings that are promised with giving it to the Lord. Or you can have the Lord take it from you. You still don't have it, but guess what? You're living under a curse on top of that, and you're robbing you and your family of the heavens being open, windows of heaven open, and the devourer being rebuked. And so sometimes a devourer is unleashed into your life. And then the last one that we'll talk about here is calamity. And sometimes, again, something unusual comes into our life, and maybe something we couldn't foresee, and all of a sudden we've racked up a bunch of bills. And you say, preacher, it wasn't because of impulse buying, or it wasn't because of our borrowed money. It was because of a calamity that's come into our life. What do I do about that? So that's what we're going to talk about this evening. Let's go through these things. Stewardship complications. The first one we mentioned was pay back borrowed money. Pay back borrowed money. What is debt? Debt is a condition caused by choosing to operate on borrowed money. I'm going to operate my life by borrowing money from somebody else, and then I'm going to operate it. That's the way I'm going to conduct my life. And because of that, I've created debt in my life. Okay? Well, stewardship complication. What's the consequences of borrowing? I want you to really stop and think about this. Let the Word of God speak to it, okay? Should I borrow money? How much money should I borrow? How often should I borrow? I want you to let the Word of God speak to your heart about this. Consequences of borrowing to violate Scripture. Owe no man anything but to love one another. So that's one of the consequences. There's a lot of consequences when you borrow money. Indebtedness is identified with judgment, and financial freedom with blessing. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt not lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. And the idea of, again, either being the one that's reigning over or enslavement is connected with borrowing, indebtedness. Judgment and blessing continue. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in thy season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. So usually one of the signs of blessings is you have an abundance that you can lend. One of the signs of slavery, financial slavery, is that you are the one that's borrowing and therefore becoming enslaved. And that's one of the consequences of borrowing. It produces bondage to creditors. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. And I've watched good people. I mean good people. I mean this. They have a good heart and want to do right, but they've indebted themselves. They're under so much debt that they literally have become a servant to the lender. They've entangled themselves financially to the point where all they can do is work as many hours and as many days. And you know what? No matter what they do, they just barely stay in above water. And it's a very frustrating way to live. And it robs you of extra time. It robs you of freedom. It robs you of the opportunity to be able to serve the Lord. Because you know what? You can't not work all of the time because you're under bondage. You've got to pay these things back. So it produces bondage to creditors. It presumes upon the future. When you borrow, you say to somebody, I'll borrow this and I'll pay this back over a time period. Well, the Bible says in James 4, go to now. I like that little statement. Go to now. Go to now. Ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's a vapor which appeareth for a little time that vanisheth away. We don't know whether we'll live to see tomorrow, let alone 5 years from now. And so it's presumptuous for us to borrow and promise to pay over a period of time when we don't even know if we've got tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. It gives the illusion of independence. Who is he that saith, this is an amazing verse here, who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? Okay, here the Lord commanded for you not to do something. He says, who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commandeth it not? Who's that person? How arrogant when God said no for you to say, well, I'm going to do it anyway. Now, a lot of times what the great thing about learning to live within your means is that God allows us then, and by the way, you say, well, I don't have the wherewithal to get this thing and I want to get this thing. And my answer is, well, pray about it. And if God's good graces smiles upon it and it's something he wants you to have and he provides it for you, then good. That'll be a green light for you. But listen, this is what we do. We go to the Lord and we pray and we ask for something, and you know what? He doesn't give it to us. And so what we decide we're going to do is, fine, Lord, if you won't do it, I know somebody that will. And we go down to the bank or we go to some other person else and we get in debt then. So it gives the illusion of independence. Remember the verse we just read here? For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is what? Evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so he said, be very careful, because what you ought to say is, if it's the Lord's will for me to have it, then he'll provide a way for me to buy it. And if he doesn't provide me the way to buy it, then I'm going to take that as no. And I'm not going to then ignore his no and go find another way to do it. I'm going to respect the fact that God did not provide that for us. Places your wife and children at risk. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. By the way, this is a good man, a God-fearing man. But wait a minute, what happened? He died. What happened? The creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. And so here's somebody, a man put himself in indebtedness, and he passed away, and that indebtedness and responsibility fell upon his wife. And all of a sudden now she's in this situation. So when you borrow, it places your wife and children at risk. It removes barriers to harmful items. Sometimes we want something that, you know what, God doesn't want us to have. Sometimes we want something that God doesn't want us to have. So it's we ask, we pray, but guess what? You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. Why? That you may consume it upon your own loss. But they that will be rich, okay, I asked and I didn't get it, but you know what? I'm going to have it. That's where we get to. Well, I'm going to find a way to do it. Okay, Lord, I tried it your way, but if you're not going to, I'm going to get it anyway. How presumptuous. Okay, it's dangerous. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Keep your life simple, folks. Don't worry about trying to keep up with the Joneses. Who cares? What other people have, whatever. Don't get caught up in all that nonsense. Honestly, are you listening to me? Don't get caught up in all that nonsense. Okay, so what? You know what? Be content with what God's given you. Be thankful for what God's given you. And don't get into this thing of, I'm going to live a certain life. I'll tell you, we're going to have certain things. You're easy pickings for the devil. Okay, and so be careful, because sometimes God, again, creates barriers to harmful items he doesn't want you to have. So if we circumvent him and decide we're going to get it anyway, we become an easy target for the devil. It demonstrates discontent with the basics. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. The love of money, the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have what? Erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There's a lot of reasons that people who at one time were sitting at Blessed Hope Baptist Church aren't sitting here anymore. There's a lot of reasons and a lot of different ways the devil gets them. But sometimes, you know what it is? They just fell in love with materialism. And you know what it did? It caused them to err from the faith. And you know what we've seen at the end of that parable there? You're not going to serve two gods. Okay, if you decide you're going after, you're going to allow your life to be defined by the house you live in and the vehicle you drive and how much money you got in your pocket, and that's going to be, then that has become your God. And so be very careful, folks. Be content with the basics. Again, you know what? You don't have to live a flashy life. You don't have to have all kinds of crazy things. You know what? Be happy with the basics of life and be thankful for good health and a good marriage and children and a roof over your head.
And you don't have to have new everything and the latest everything. Just be glad that God has provided the needs of your life. All righty. It devours resources through interest payments. Consequences of borrowing. Now we'll go to the second one. Not only are consequences of borrowing. It devours resources through interest payments. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you to your trust the true riches? So God, my dad used to say, when God called a man to preach or called him into ministry, he'd make him pass certain tests. He used to teach that out of this parable right here. Let's go look at that parable. If you got your Bible still open, and if you look down in Luke chapter 16, verse number 10, he said this, verse number 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that which is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And he said, when God's wanting to decide whether or not he can trust somebody and use somebody, the first thing he'll do is just give them a little responsibility, a little abundance, a little blessing, a little opportunity. It may not seem like a big deal. Hey, when your preacher comes to you and says, hey, I've got a job, it's not a big job, but you know what, I need somebody to do it. You know what, how you treat that little opportunity is a test. It's not me testing you, it's God testing you. And if you'll look and say, well, I'll tell you what, if you ever come up with something big and important, come see me, preacher, but you got to understand, I mean, you might want you to do what? Don't you know who I am around here? I mean, you want a room painted or you, what do you mean there's a toilet clogged? What do you mean there's a light bulb that needs to be changed? Well, guess what? Sometimes there's a toilet clogged and a light bulb that needs to be changed and a room that needs to be painted. And if you're too big britches to do that, God ain't going to use you for anything else much. All right? And so be willing to do God first of all, test somebody with the least. Notice what it says next. It says in verse 11, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And he says, then he watches how you handle money. Can you be trusted with money? Can you be trusted with what the Bible calls unrighteous mammon? So God says, you know, when he's looking to test somebody, he'll give you a little responsibility or a little abundance or a little opportunity, and he sees what you do with it. Then he'll look at your finances and say, if they can't be trusted to properly handle money in a proper fashion, how could I trust them with true riches? And so this may or may not mean anything to you, but if you want advanced opportunities to serve the Lord, then I'd pay attention. This entire 3-week series is important because you need to learn to be faithful in unrighteous mammon. If you won't be faithful and unrighteous mammon, why would God entrust you true riches? The last one, verse number 12, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? And again, what he does, God gives us a little, and then he sees how we handle, he gives unrighteous mammon and sees how we handle that, and then he gives us the opportunity to handle that which doesn't belong to us. Okay, handle that which doesn't belong to us. You say, well, if this was mine, I'd care about it. Well, if you're given an opportunity to handle somebody else's that's not yours, you ought to treat it just as much as if it was yours. Okay, a lot of bosses will say, nobody will do it like the person that owns it. Well, that's a shame. Hello, that's a shame. You know, I mean, I was a member of a church before I was ever a pastor of a church. Are you listening? I was a member of a church before I was ever trusted to be a pastor of a church. If I was going to undermine that preacher and try to hurt that ministry that wasn't mine, why would God ever trust me with a ministry that was mine? Okay. All right. Bus workers, are you listening to me? If you can't get on there as a bus, well, I'm not the captain, so I just sit here and do nothing. Well, I don't imagine God will ever let you be a captain. Why would he? Okay, and I think what God does is give us, again, opportunities, and a lot of times it's another man's opportunity. You're working for somebody. You know what? You ought to be, like I said the other day, you ought to be working to make that man successful. Okay, if you ever hope to one day, why would God let you be in a position to have employees that work hard to make you successful if when you were an employee, you wouldn't work hard to make your boss successful? So that's another man's. Most of us have, hey, young people, guess what? That's mom and dad's home. Okay? Are you helping it? Are you blessing it? Well, I'll be different when I get my own home. No, you won't. You won't be different when you get your own home. Okay? And so what I'm saying is, you know what? It's a testing we're going through, okay? I hope that helps. Luke chapter 16 is full of good stuff, full of good stuff. All righty. It stifles resourcefulness, consequences of borrowing. It stifles resourcefulness. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hidden in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let's say that you would like to purchase something, all right? And so you pray about it. And guess what? You stand out in the yard and you look up, nothing floats down. You go to the mailbox, there nobody sends cash. And so you say to yourself, Lord, all righty, if you're not going to give it to me, will you give me the creative resourcefulness to know, to be able to figure out a way to earn this so that I can get it? A lot of times God won't give you something, but he'll give you opportunity to work for something. How did you get that? He won't give you something, but he'll give you an extra opportunity to earn money to work for something. And so God's note, when you ask for something, just the fact that God didn't give you the money doesn't mean that he necessarily doesn't want you to have it, but sometimes what he wants you to do is exercise creative resourcefulness. Here's somebody that, you know what, they went out and they searched for a treasure, and when they found it, they said, that's good, I'll buy that field, it's in a field, another man's field, I'll go buy the field, and then I'll get the treasure. You know what, I'm going to go seeking goodly pearls, and when I find the pearl of great price, I'm going to sell all I have, I'm going to get that thing. And so creative resourcefulness. Consequences of borrowing, it promotes impulse buying. We'll talk more about that in just a second. So there's consequences or complications. It encourages consequences of borrowing. It encourages living outside your means. And again, we're talking about contentment here. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And so at times, God's going to allow us to go through some times where financially he abases us. And then he'll see whether or not we're willing to be content in that. And then he'll abound us. And he wants to see whether or not we'll be content on that. So he's going to give us both opportunities. He's wanting to see if we're content. Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him, what's that say? Deny himself. So you know what? Sometimes you want something. Young people, are you listening to me? You want something, but guess what? You can't afford it. And you shouldn't go out and get in debt over it. And you know what you do? You say something to yourself. And here's what you say. No. Guess what? You don't get to get that. Okay? If you do not learn how to deny yourself. Okay? Just because your flesh wants something doesn't mean you should allow yourself. I mean, some of you drive by, you know, you walk by the Cinnabon place in the mall. And you go, and you didn't go in there to buy Cinnabons, but pretty soon you're sitting at the table eating Cinnabons. You know, you eat enough of them, you start looking like a Cinnabon, all right? So, all right. Well, what about this? What about no? What about just no? Okay? I mean, if you cannot learn to deny yourself, well, I really want that, but you know what? I really don't need that. And you know, as much as I want it, I think I'll just deny myself. If you can't learn to say no to you, then you know what? Oh my goodness sakes, are you going to be in trouble? Because you become such an easy target for the devil, okay? All right, this is my favorite screen. Let's look at that for a minute. All right, let's move on. All right, okay. Eliminating complications. Let's talk about these complications and boom, I'm going to move quick, all right? How to pay back borrowed money. You say, preacher, I do have some debt. How do I eliminate that debt? How to pay back borrowed money. All right, first thing you needed to do, folks, listen to me, is you need to know where you're at. So it's time to get a piece of paper and a pencil out, and it's time to write down every single debt that you have, how much you owe, to whom that you owe, what the monthly payments are, and what the interest rate is that you're paying. And you need to be able to have it all in one place and look at it. See where you're at. Again, people are just, you know, they keep borrowing and they keep charging, and folks don't even know where they're at. You've got to know where you're at. So you, first of all, list all your debt. All right, now you're going to decide you're going to eliminate this debt. Are you listening to me? Wouldn't it be great to live debt free? Decide you're going to eliminate that debt. So what are you going to do? Well, first of all, you're going to do what the unwise steward did. You went out and made some, watch this, unwise stewardship decisions. You went and got yourself in a bunch of debt that you really didn't have any business getting in. You made some unwise decision. Now the Lord's calling you to account. He said, I don't even know if I can trust you to be a steward anymore. So what's this guy do? You know what he does? He goes to somebody who owes. Listen, he's in debt. Let's read this. He's got some bad debt. He's got some debt that he's incurred, some loans that he made that's bad debt. So he says in verse number 5, so he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto the Lord? He said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down and quickly and write 50. Well, it sounds like he lost money. Yeah, he did. It's better to lose a little and clear a debt, take a hit and clear a debt, than it is to stay under the bondage of that debt. Okay, that's what he did. Say, he took a 50% hit. Yeah, guess what it's called? It's called a lesson of life. Take a 50% hit on something, and next time when it comes borrowing time, you might stop and say, you know what, I've already been down this road. I got burnt once. I'm not doing this again. The second one, I think that the Lord put this in here on purpose this way. Notice what he said in number 7. And said he to another, how much owest thou? And he said unto him, 100 measures. And he said unto him, take the bill and write how much? He only took a 20% hit on that one. Sometimes you're going to take a bigger hit depending on how dumb the contract was or the whatever was. Sometimes you can minimize the damage. By the way, I think when he showed that he was willing to do whatever it took, God helped him go from 50% to 20%, and not all of it hurt quite as bad. But you know what, folks? Whatever you've got, listen, you got to look at that debt bottom line. You say, oh, it's overwhelming. There's no way in the world we'll ever get this paid back. Just forget. Wait a minute. You know what? List it all so you can see it. And then you know what you need to do? You need to look around and say, what can I sell? What do I have that I can sell? What do I have that I can sell? What do I need? If I had to take a loss on something, what do I have to do to sell it? And I mean, if you'll just sell everything that is not a necessity, how bad do you want to pay that off? How bad do you want to live debt-free? That means you sell whatever you've got to sell. Okay? You make whatever decision you have to make. And you liquidate everything you can, and every dime from everything you liquidate, you go and you pay off one of these debts or two of these debts. You sell whatever you've got to sell. Well, man, that means we're going to go down to nothing. No, you're going to go back to even. It's where we're trying to get you. You're already at below nothing. Okay? And so you sell whatever you've got to sell. That means if you have to liquidate some things, you have to liquidate it. If you sell it for not as much, quite as much as it's worth, you take a hit on it, but you get as much cash as you can. The Lord commended the unwise steward. It's better to get some rather than to lose everything. Okay, so sell everything you possibly can, pay off as much debt as you possibly can, okay? Target the smallest amount. Now, what does that mean? After you've done, sold everything you can, and you've got as much cash as you can, then what you want to do is, if you've got let's say you got a list of 8 different people that you owe money to, which of those 8 do you owe the least amount to? My dad's taught this for years and years and years, and other good men have taught this. Now, folks, listen, pay minimum payments on the other 7, and every extra dime you have, you pour it towards that least smallest amount until you get that thing gone. It may take a little bit of time, but you just concentrate on the lowest, I don't care which one, the lowest amount, you go after that one. Now, let's say all of a sudden you went from 8 down to 7 people that you owe. Well, you were making that 8th payment, weren't you? So now you're not going to stop. You're just going to take that payment that you were making on that one and make the pay, add that to the payment on the 7th one or the next one on the list, the next smallest one on the list, and then you're going to work like crazy and you're going to focus on that, make minimum payments on the other 6, and you're going to concentrate fully on that next one, and you're going to get that one paid off. Now you've got 2 payments you were making. You're going to add those 2 payments together along with the minimum payment on the 3rd least amount, and you're going to concentrate your efforts on that. And, well, preacher, it's still going to take a while. Hey, you know what? Let God see you try. Let God see how serious you are. Somewhere along the process, you know what you're going to see? You're going to begin to see the blessings of God on your life. You're going to see God smile. God's going to give you, a little abundance. In the process of that, all of a sudden, he's going to surprise you with $100 you didn't think you had. You know what he's going to do that for? He's going to see whether or not you're going to go down there and put it on that bill, or whether you're going to run out and take the family to Outback. That's what he's going to see. Okay? Every time you get an abundance, you go out and blow it. Why would God give you much of an abundance? You're drowning in debt, and yet every time you get a little extra money, you got to go do something extravagant? No, you take it and you put it on there. Well, you mean I never get to go out to eat? Yeah, you will. You just got to get down to the bottom one, okay? And then you can go out and eat a lot. Think of how many times you go out and eat if you didn't have all that debt. So you bite the bullet, you pay the price. Say, Lord, forgive me. I was an unwise steward. I was not a good steward. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus my attention on the lease. I'm going to pay it off. Then I'm going to take that money that I was paying on that one and put it on the next one. And I'm going to work extra and I'm going to pray. And Lord, if you give me abundance, after I've given and paid my necessities, if you give me abundance, what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep paying on this thing. And Lord, you help me. And you'll be surprised how the Lord begins to step in. And so that's you know how you get into it? You get into it the way you got, or get out of it, you get out of it the way you got into it, a little at a time, you work at it, and you watch God smile and bless that thing, okay? Target the smallest amount. When that bill is paid, you take the money that was going to that bill and apply it to the next smallest debt. And you just continue on. When that debt is paid off, apply both amounts to the next bill, continue until debt-free. You listen, folks, if you're in the process of doing this and you go out and borrow more money, don't borrow any more money. Stop. Okay, you pay off two and then you add another one on the bottom. That's what happens a lot of time. We get ourselves a little breathing room, and next thing you know, something shiny catches our eye. There we go again. All right, so you know, let me just give you good advice here. Do not co-sign a loan for someone else. I'm going to give you a little financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm giving you some good practical common sense. You don't co-sign. Make that a principle of your life. You do not co-sign. You don't co-sign. Are you going to co-sign? No, you're not going to co-sign. Oh, but you don't understand this one circumstance. Don't co-sign. Okay, you put your credit at risk when you co-sign a loan. I've had people are brazen. I could tell, last year I probably had four or five different people in this church, not main core members, but, you know, folks that float in and out want me to co-sign a loan for them. I mean, call me on the phone in my office, want me to co-sign a loan for them. I said, no, I don't co-sign. I'm not going to help them make a mistake. I'm not going to help them get into indebtedness. By the way, if my name's on that loan and they default, it affects me. Okay, so be careful. I sat in a home. Watch this. Some of you are thinking, yeah, but preacher, family's different. All right, you're going to make that decision. But I'm going to tell you this. I sat in a home of an older couple, and you know what? They're in financial ruin. You know why? Because they co-signed a bunch of loans for ungrateful children who then said, well, mom and dad can do it, and so I ain't paying this off. They'll just handle it. And living when they should be living securely in their old age, or living poverty status because they couldn't say no to their kids or their grandkids. And again, I'm going to have to let you make some decisions in that, but I'm just telling you, I'm going to tell you that's a sad visit when you have to make that visit. All right. Instead of co-signing for a child or a grandchild, why don't you sit down and teach them this stuff? Why don't you say, hey, you know, you could borrow this money. I'm not going to help you, but you might find a way to borrow. But let me just go ahead and share with you another way to get that doesn't involve them borrowing. Now, it's going to involve contentment for a while, patience. It might ask God some prayer, and it might involve God some extra work that God gives you opportunity. But, there, you know, this is not the way to get it. So you're not helping somebody by doing that. Get rid of credit cards. Instead, if absolutely necessary, get a debit card. You got to understand, if you can't handle credit cards, get rid of them. All right, get rid of them. Because you can't pay off debt while you're constantly racking up debt. Okay? And then tips to paying interest on borrowing. All right, I'm trying to pay this back. Preacher, a lot of this stuff is high interest rate. Well, it's almost like the banks know what they're doing. There's a reason they can afford to build those big, giant, fancy buildings, okay? Call creditors and seek a rate reduction. That means on all of those, okay, let's say you got eight people you owe money to, and this is what you owe, and here's the interest rates. Call every one of them and ask them whether or not you can get that interest rate lowered some way. Some creditors may work with you, some may not. But if they don't, they don't, okay? But see if you can. You'd be surprised that some of them will work with you on that, okay? If possible, switch the balance of a high interest credit to low interest. So if you have something on high interest, you can find a way to take that money and switch it over to a lower interest rate in some other way, you'd be wise to do that. All right? pay extra on house payments. Preacher, I've got a mortgage. Well, pay extra on house payments. It's a little secret, and anybody that knows a whole lot can sit down and explain this to you. Any banker can sit down and explain it to you. They don't want to explain it to you. If you take a 30-year loan, you took out a 30-year loan on your house, and your payment was $600 a month. If you can put an extra $100 and pay $700 a month, an extra $100 towards the principal, you'll take a 30-year loan and you'll knock it down to about a 23-year loan. It'll be paid off in 23 years. That's 7 years at the end that you don't have to make a payment. No payment at all. Just by paying a little extra on the principal. Make sure that's going to principal. But whatever you can. Well, I can't afford $100. Can you afford $20? It's still going to work things off the end of your loan. Okay? But that'll help you out. Okay? Beware of credit consolidation and second mortgages. You're not going to believe this, but all of those commercials on TV, not all of them are telling you the truth, okay? All those people that if you'll just call them and you know what, they work with it and they get all this done. No, they line their pockets and you end up in the same boat you were in. Let me just say that, okay? They're lining their pockets and you're ending up in the same boat you're going to end. Well, I need credit consolidation, and you're going to do that. You're going to write the list down. You're going to become your own financial advisor. And then you're going to look at the least amount that you owe, and you're going to say, here's my plan. And you don't need anybody's help to do that except the Lord's, okay? All right, tips to plan. Stop impulse buying. Stop impulse buying, okay? Some of you cannot. Young people, if you can't, some of you took $25 on a youth trip and you came back with none. I'm sure you needed to spend $25 on a one-night trip. If you got a dollar in your pocket, it burns, so you got to spend it. You know, you just look around and whatever, you got to find something. You just got to find something to buy. Stop that. Stop it. Listen, I'm going to tell you, let me say this. It's an addiction. It's an addiction. It's a way you get a high. Honestly, it's a way you feel good for a little while. You know why people shoot drugs? Because it makes them feel good for a little while. You know, people buy stuff they don't need. It makes them feel good for a little while. It's a drug. It's an addiction. Okay? You know you can go to the gas station, purchase fuel, and nothing else? You know those gas stations are not making their living on the fuel? They're making their living by buying a candy bar for 26 cents and sell it to you for $1.36. I mean, that's how they're making their, I'm telling you, that's how they're making their money. Go talk to Dave, go talk to anybody else. Say, do you make your money off the fuel? Well, they'll look at you a little bit. Folks, listen to me. That's so regulated and there's so much taxes and there's so much competition. They can't make but just a little dab. They're not making it on that. They're making it on undisciplined Americans that cannot walk into a gas station without coming out with an armload of stuff that you don't need. Okay? It's an addiction. Stop it. Stop it. Allow yourself to set a set amount of spending per week. Pay with cash. Okay? So you cut up your credit cards and whatever you can get this next week, when you cash your check, you give, and then you pay your bills. And then you decide how much cash money I'm going to allow myself to have this week. And by the way, if you spend it, it's gone. And that's it. All right, so pay with cash. I had a good financial teacher tell me one thing. If you are just out of control, and some of you are and you don't even realize that you're really out of control on spending, he said you ought to take a small tablet and put it in your pocket or your purse. And you ought to, for 1 month, say, I will not, every time I reach in and spend one penny, I'm going to open it up and I'm going to write down what I bought and how much it cost. See, most of us aren't even aware of what we're doing. It's just become such a way of life. And then he said, at the end of that month, I want you to flip back through there and I want you to look at how much, figure it up with a calculator, how much money went out the bottom of your treasure chest just because you saw this and that looked good and that smelled good and this glittered and I've got to have this stuff. And it really is an eye-opener. One of the greatest ways to kind of get this thing and understand how much of a problem you have is to write down every single day, every single dime, and just do that for a month. Saying you have to do it for the rest of your life, do it for a month. And then look at that. I'll tell you one thing it'll do. If you know you have to get the pen and paper out and write it down, you're probably going to say, I don't think I want to look at that at the end of the month, you know. You know, gummy bears, you know. See, I got $43 addiction to gummy bears this month. You know? Or whatever it is. You know, you got a $70 a month Mountain Dew addiction. I know I'm meddling now. I mean, I'll be messing with the dew. Now, come on, you know. Preacher, that's how I stay alive. Leave that alone. All right, don't look through advertisements. Don't look through advertisements. I say, if you just take your Sunday paper and take the middle section and go over and throw it in the trash, it'd be the best thing you could do for the average Christian home. Because you know what? It causes us to become discontent. We're like, oh, wow. Man, I tell you, I'd like to have that. Well, before you open it up, you didn't even think about it. You didn't even know you didn't have it. But, you know, I don't go window shopping. We've got windows. I put them in. We put them in a few years after we bought the place and put in new windows. I went window shopping, got my windows, put them in. They're good. Saved us a lot in energy and all that. It's good. But, you know, you just go, oh, I'm not going to go buy them. I'm just going to go look. Uh-huh. Okay. But a lot of times, you know, we're just looking around. Let me tell you a little secret I found, okay? All right. We go to Terre Haute usually once a week, and I take my wife out. And by the way, gentlemen, that's a good investment. That's a real good investment. If you want to splurge a little, splurge on the missus. Splurge on spending time together. Well, you just told me not to spend. Okay, you just, you know, get you a happy meal and split it. Small Coke, two straws. That can get interesting right there, you know. Yeah, good time, man. All right. Gentlemen, when you're counting out the fries, you go one for you, two for me, one for you, three for me. You're just helping her. You're just trying to help her. Amen. You know, be a blessing. But you know what I found out? If on my day off I stay there on the little farm, I don't spend any money. I go to Terre Haute, wander around, I'm going to spend money. It's all right. I mean, as long as you plan to do it, you got to go sometime, get groceries and whatnot. But, you know, just this, you know, hey, ladies, I'm going to help you if you let me. If you're going to Walmart 5-6 times a week, you're either so unorganized it's ridiculous, or you got an addiction problem. You're spending a bunch of money you don't need to be spending. Okay? Put the little magnet list thing on the refrigerator. When you realize you're out of something, write it down, and we'll get to that, and then you got a list. Okay? Reduce trips to town. I think I just said that. All right? If you're not around these things, you're not in these places, you want to do it. Shop from a list. Okay? What do you need that week? What do we need? We'll go out and we'll go to some breakfast somewhere. Then I'll say to her, where do you need me to take you? What do we need? My wife pulls out a piece of paper. She's got a list. Guess what? We go in there. We get what's on the list. Unless I'm doing the grocery shopping. Now, I'm going to tell you ladies something that'll help you, okay? Don't take your husband. That's true. But here's what you do want to do about once a month. Send him. Now, it's going to kind of blow the buzz a little bit, but I promise you, he'll bring back some good stuff, man. I mean, ladies, they go get what they need, you know, and they get the ingredients, all this. But, man, when I go, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. I should not be trusted grocery shopping. One time, Cheryl got sick. I mean, real sick. And couldn't go grocery shopping. I said, I got this. So I go in there to Walmart, and I grab me a cart, man. She gives me this list, you know. And I don't know where anything's at. So I was in there for like 3 hours. I'd go down every aisle looking for the next thing, and then I'd find it. And then, I'm stopping old women because they're seeing me, and I've gone by them 5 times. What are you looking for? Can I help you? And they take me over and show me stuff. But during that 3 hours, I passed a lot of really cool stuff, too. And some of it fell in my cart. I mean, she had a list of maybe 20 things, and I got like two carts I'm pushing to the thing, you know. Spent like $400 in groceries. Blew our budget for 3 months, you know. But man, I'll tell you, I lived happy for a while. I don't know. Whew. I think those little Debbie cakes are a necessity. I really do. So whichever one of you shouldn't go grocery shopping, that would be me and my family, don't go. Send the other person, okay? Except maybe once every couple months so you get some cool stuff. All right. Stop impulse buying. Go only to stores necessary to purchase wisely the things on your list. Okay, so you got your list, and what do we need to do? Every time we'll have the same discussion. I'll say, where do we need to go? You know, what store? Well, we need to stop here, here, and here. Why? Because that's where we need to go get things on our list. Okay, when you go in there, buy it. I'm not saying you're never going to see something to jog your memory, oh, we're about out of this, I almost forgot. Well, no, that's fine, but just don't go crazy. You know, be wise, okay? Here's a great question my dad used to say. He said this, don't ask, can I afford it? Ask, what's it say? Can I do without it? That's a great, great thing. Again, it really is a wonderful thing, young ladies, young men, when you get to the point where you pick something up and really there's something inside of you that really wants this thing, and you take the time and you experience discipline and you ask yourself, you know what? Yeah, I'd really like to have it. And you know what? I can even afford it. But you know what? I really don't need this. And you just set it down. That may not seem like a big step for some people. That's a huge step. You denied yourself. You had to wherewithal to get it, and you chose not to. You know, and I think when God sees that, he begins to learn that he can trust you. And so stop impulse buying. Quickly, eliminate unwise spending. All right, what about the things that are on the list? Well, just because there may be some things you need to get, but you know what? You need to be wise even in getting that. And these ladies are better at teaching this than this preacher is. I mean, they grow up knowing how to comparison shop and all of these things. So check prices, all right? There's several places you can go grocery shopping in Terre Haute. And at some places, you're going to spend a lot more than other places. Now, these ladies could tell you better than I which those places are. They go. Some of them go to maybe two different grocery stores. They know they can get these items on sale because they've checked what's on sale, and then they go to the other store and they save money. Just be smart in what you are buying, okay? Clip coupons. Remember when Americans used to do that? Clip coupons. Now, from what I hear, you can look them up on your phone, hand it to the thing, and they can scan it, and you can get a coupon right off your smartphone. There you go. All right, if you can afford the smartphone. No full price before purchasing. Watch for hidden charges on anything that you buy. It's amazing. You know, I don't understand this, and it's just the state we're in. But, you know, 25, 30 years ago when you bought something, it came with an understood warranty. You could return it if it was defective. Now you have to buy the protection. That's craziness to me. What happened to just standing behind what you purchased or what you manufactured, you know? Don't confuse cheap with inexpensive. Okay, sometimes you can say, well, preacher, I need this. And you men have done this. All of us have done this. I always give the illustration about the screen door we put on the back of our house. Our house needed a screen door, and I went to Menards or somewhere, and you know what I was looking for? I went the cheapest screen door. You know what I got? The cheapest screen door. So guess what I was doing in about 6 months? I was buying a different screen door. And what you learn is sometimes you try to save a little, and you buy stuff that is cheap, not inexpensive, cheap, and you end up spending more in the long run. So not the cheapest isn't always the best deal. Somewhere between, though, the lowest end and the highest end, you know, also don't have to buy premium. You can usually find good quality, middle-of-the-road stuff. You just got to kind of check it out, and that'll eliminate unwise spending, okay? Eliminate the devourer. Give tithes and offerings. If you don't give tithes and offerings, then there's no way that me or all of the angels of heaven is going to protect you and your family from the devourer. He's coming. Okay, God's going to unleash the devourer into your life. And like I said, God will see to it that that money is confiscated from you. So how much better to receive the blessing, okay? Here's something I need to mention from time to time. Paying your child's school bill is not a tithe or offering. It's a payment for a service rendered. Some of you are laughing, but some of you aren't because some of you have done it. The minute you put your kid in, you're writing a blessed hope check for that, you quit. When you start, you know, watch this. If you're not careful, the devil will start allowing you to rationalize ways why you don't have to actually tithe. Here's the thing. I mean, I've known people to do this. I can name names of people I've heard say this. Well, I went over a work day and I went over to the church and gave 5 or 6 hours work. And if I'd have done that any other place, I would have charged them this, so I don't have to give for that. Good night. And you are a thief. That's right. It's amazing how people can rationalize. One man told me this. Well, you say you should tithe off your gross income. The Bible says what it says of all your increase. What I do is I see what's come in. I pay all my bills and whatever is left over. That's the only real increase I had. If it came in, it was crazy. You know what that is? It's called the rationale of a backslidden cheapskate. That's what it is. And by the way, if you're going to be that stingy with God, you know what he promises? He'll be that stingy with you. And it's crazy the way people try to rationalize not walking in and just doing the right thing. But you know what? You may rationalize things in your mind, but that's not going to keep the devourer from coming to your home and into your life. Okay? Tithe on all the increase. So whatever's come in the last 7 days, first day of the week, you calculate that. 10% belongs to the Lord and offers. One man said this, your tithing shows your obedience to the Lord. Your offering shows your love for the Lord. I want to love the Lord and I also want to obey the Lord. Okay? So tithe on all your increase. On the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. Okay? Eliminate the devourer. What about calamity, preacher? I mean, you know, I'm trying to do everything right and I think I'm pretty much in, but all of a sudden, you know, some unexpected financial, I mean, just when we seem like we were just about getting there, boom, something comes in and just, you know, there we are again. If something like that's happening, and it happens on a regular basis, one of the things you ought to do is God trying to get my attention about something? Okay? I mean, sometimes we don't pay him much attention, so he's got to find ways to get our attention. And I mean, honestly, I'm not playing God here. And every time another Christian goes in this church and gets hit with a calamity, we shouldn't sit on the Pharisaical seat of judgment and say, oh, there must be something wrong spiritually in their life. Listen, that's between them and God. That's none of your business. Bad things happen to good people sometimes. But if it just happens over and over again, come on, take a step back. Am I tithing? Well, no, but God should understand. He's not going to understand. He's going to command and he wants you to obey. And if not, then expect calamity. All right, it's going to come. Is God trying to get my attention about something else? Is there an area of stubborn disobedience in my life and God can't get my attention any other way, so he's getting my attention through my pocketbook? I don't know. I'm just saying, at some point, if I have a series of things that are going wrong, I'm on my knees. And I'm saying, Lord, if I'm missing something, I'm listening. Okay, I don't stand in the seat of accusation, point a finger at God. I ask God, search me, oh God, know my heart, try me. Is there something I need to get fixed that I'm not, what are you trying to get my attention about? And you know what? Here's the thing. If there is something he's trying to get your attention about, you won't have to ask twice. Amazing how many times when you pray that prayer, immediately God brings to your mind, you know what? You haven't fixed this. Okay? I've been dealing with your heart about this area, and you won't let me have this. You want what you want, but you won't give me what I want. Okay? So that's an honest question, and I think it's something that every Christian ought to do in the privacy of their own heart. That's between you and God, but sort it out. Okay? Sort it out. Is it self-inflicted? Sometimes a calamity can be self-inflicted. Sometimes it's something we didn't have anything to do with. Sometimes it's something that we contributed to. If it is, learn from your mistakes. Okay, everybody's going to make some mistakes. You make some bad decisions and boom, you're going to pay the consequence. All right, okay. My question I always ask, you know, I'm just a country boy, common sense kind of whatever. I always ask the question, you know what I say? How many times you grab the electric fence before you realize it's on? So don't keep grabbing the electric fence over and over, okay? If it shocks you once, oh, wow. Guess what? I think I'll leave that alone. And so if you make a mistake, you made a mistake. But if you make a mistake, learn from the mistake. Don't make it again, okay? That's called life. If possible, carry catastrophic insurance. And you can't cover everything with insurance in life. I don't even think God wants us to. I think we're supposed to trust him. I mentioned last week, again, I really believe, gentlemen, and I say this, I don't give a lot of financial advice, but I really think that every man here ought to make sure that you've got some type of insurance policy to take care of your wife and kids if something happens to you, okay? One of the hardest things to protect yourself from isn't death, it's injury or illness that would prevent you from working. And if you say, well, they sell insurance for that, go price it. I mean, you know, you can't cover everything in life. And I don't think we're supposed to. I think what we're supposed to do is trust in the Lord and do the best we can. Understand if that does come into our life, there are Bible principles, there are things that God does to see to it that we can be taken care of. But for what you, whatever you can, you know, prepare for in advance, try to prepare for it in advance. Seek divine provision. You say, preacher, something come to my life, and you know what, man, it just, boom, there it was, and now we got these bills, and I didn't see it coming, and nothing we could have prevented. It's just one of those things. Well, this is where we get on our knees and say, Lord, help us. Here I'm facing this. I want to be honest. I want to do the right thing. But, Lord, I don't know how we're going to do this, and I just need a miracle of God. And I could have them stand up, and they'd pop up like popcorn over this auditorium of people that have given tithes and offerings, been faithful, tried to use good responsibility, got hit with financial calamities, and come in and say, preacher, I need you to pray with me about this. And we pray, and I said, let's commit ourselves to prayer. And a month later, 6 weeks later, 8 months later, come in and say, preacher, you're not going to believe what God did. And God stepped in a very miraculous way, took care of something. And that's one of the benefits of prayer. It's one of the benefits of doing right and tithing and offering and being honest with God, is that God's open to those prayers and he'll come in and help you. So seek divine help. Sometimes you just have to get on your knees and say, Lord, you know what? This is something I didn't see. By the way, folks, this medical thing, I'm not for Obamacare in any stretch of the imagination. But let me say this also. The medical field and the medical charges of that industry is ridiculous. It's just that more people are going in and filing bankruptcy over medical bills than any other thing, and it's not even close. It's not even close. And you can think you've got everything, all your ducks in a row and everything protected, and you can have one or two serious things go wrong in your family, and you can wake up one day and be hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And that's what I'm talking about calamities. Something like that where you didn't choose it, you didn't want it, it just happened. And yet, at the same time, there is a God in heaven. And you know what? He's good to his children. And the best insurance that you can pay. Say, preacher, you said about taking out catastrophic insurance. Here's the best catastrophic insurance policy you can take out. Bring your tithe check when you come to church and put it in a plate. Be generous when God moves upon your heart in this matter of giving above your tithe. I want to say this, and I'm not being mean. I really am not being mean. But if you came to my office and you sat across from me and you said, preacher, our finances are a mess. I need some help. And I said to you, do you tithe and do you give offerings? And you said, no. And I said, are you willing to start? And you said, no. I would stand up at that point and I would reach over and I'd shake your hand and I'd say, you know what? I will pray for you, but there's really nothing I can do to help you. And that's all I could do. Because there's nothing any human being can do to prevent what God's going to bring into your life until you will lose your stubbornness, your wicked, disobedient stubbornness, and start bringing in 10% plus an offering and put it in a plate. I'm not saying this for the benefit of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm saying it for your benefit, for your wife's benefit, for your children's benefit. It's the best insurance policy you could have. I can't take catastrophic insurance out for everything, but in a way I have. Because I believe Malachi chapter 3 says that God will open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing. And we've had those times in our life where we've run into things, and I mean something happened, and all of a sudden we've got these stack of bills, and we'll never get out of this. Guess what? We are. Guess what God did? And he'll be faithful if you'll be faithful to him, all right? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for helping us. And, Lord, for your instruction. May we be an obedient people, Lord. Forgive us in the areas, Lord, perhaps where we have been unwise, and give us wisdom and a determination to do right. May we, Lord, see ourselves as those stewards. May we understand that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And everything ultimately belongs to you. We manage what you allow us to have, but it ultimately belongs to you. May we treat it such, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you would direct everybody personally in this matter. We've looked at principles, and some principles are in granite. They're not going to be altered. They're not going to be changed. When it comes to finances and spending and all of that, a lot of it is just, Lord, your Holy Spirit personally guiding each and every person. When it comes to giving and giving opportunities, it's your Holy Spirit. When it comes to spending, what's wise and what's not, when to buy. A lot of times, Lord, we just need your Spirit's leading on that. We need to know and so we can make good, wise decisions. So guide each and every family. I pray for, Lord, every family in our church, dear God, and I would pray, Lord, even now that maybe if there's somebody that's really kind of gotten themselves behind an eight ball, and maybe some fault of their own, and maybe no fault of their own, maybe a calamity situation, I want to pray for them right now, Lord. I mean that. I would pray, dear God, that as they incorporate your principles, that you would smile upon them, that you'd be very generous to them. And, Lord, that you would help them and reward their obedience. And may they seek your face. May they understand, dear God, that you own the cattle on a thousand hills. And, Lord, you're the one that ultimately pulls the strings. And, Lord, you can open the windows of heaven or you can close them tight. And so I pray, Lord, that we would do our best, to the best of each of our ability, to put ourselves in the most blessable situation that we can. We pray these things in Jesus' name.